title of this discourse is called Trauma Response. And so we are living in a world where we, if you haven't been, you will be, you're going to come in contact with what is called trauma. All right? And so trauma is something that we all have to deal with. Matter of fact, the enemy in his wickedness, he is the one that likes to traumatize you and I. Right. All right? And now he may use somebody else to do it, but he's going to make sure that some type of trauma, whether it be some type of trauma, is going to come your way in this lifetime. What he likes to do is he likes to cause injury to us. Trauma is defined as a pervasive, invading, unwanted, uncontrolled, I put in there, unable to get rid of, emotional response to deeply distressing, life-threatening event or series of events. In other words, things are going to happen to us that are going to hurt us in some kind of way, whether it be mental, whether it be emotional, whether it be physical, whether it be spiritual. We're going to come in contact with people and things that is going to traumatize us. And so we have to cope with those things. And many times we don't have the ability to cope with those things in the way that we need to. And so we end up being what's called traumatized. I think about somebody that maybe as a child, a dog got after them and they had to run from that dog, maybe jump a fence or climb a tree or get on top of a car or something of that nature. Those people many times, they go through life traumatized. They don't want to see no dog. They don't want to be near no dog. They've had to deal with that and it has affected them in a great way. And so you and I have come in contact with some kind of trauma that has affected us. The reason why this matters is because not only trauma is going to happen, but there's going to be a response that we have to that trauma. There's going to be something that we do or have done even before, not only in the moment, before we can even think about it, but sometimes that trauma response is long lasting. May God help us this morning. And why this matters is because we have a relationship with God through salvation. And so what has happened to us matters. While we responded to what has happened to us, it matters because we carry that into our relationship with God. May the Lord help us this morning. And so the Bible says in John 10:10, it says the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. The Bible says, but I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And so what's happening here? The thief in this instance is the enemy of all souls. If you've been stolen from, that's a traumatic event. If you've been, somebody has tried to kill you, whether it be physically, mentally, or emotionally, whether they have come to assassinate your character, that is a traumatizing event. It says steal, kill, and to destroy. Destroy is self-explanatory. We have to understand that these things have affected us, and we're moving and going through life, not on the outside maybe, but on the inside. We have been affected in some kind of way, and we bring these problems and these issues into our relationship with God. May the Lord help us this morning. And so we need to understand that there's help for these things. But we can't get any help if we're living in denial, if we're living in a way that doesn't allow us to even get to these things. May God help us. I thought about Joseph's brother. We're not going to turn there. But if you can, get a chance. Maybe you read in conjunction with this discourse. Joseph had some brothers. Remember Brother Joseph? And Joseph, they call him the dreamer. He was kind of, some people are kind of oblivious to what's going on. They're just happy-go-lucky and going through life. And so Joseph was blessed because he had that kind of an outlook. And then also God had put his hand upon him, and he was going to use him and he was going to bless him. And he had some brothers. And those brothers, they were not very happy about how Joseph was. Joseph didn't have a lot of wisdom. And so Joseph would brag about what the things God had done for him. And Joseph had a father where Joseph was his favorite. And so his father would kind of dote on him. And matter of fact, he gave him a gift. It was a robe that he had made for him. And his brothers got jealous about it and they got upset about it. And so they did some things to him, didn't they? They took him and they sold him into slavery and they treated him bad and all these different things. And so Joseph, not only in that situation, but Joseph, throughout his life, he experienced, y'all pray for me. All right. He experienced a lot of traumatic events. All right. But ultimately, he did not allow for that to dictate his relationship with God in the end. And so we learn from that, that even though we have these traumatic events, and we learn from that, even though we're going to have a response to that, ultimately, we can still have the victory. We still can live righteously and godly in this present world, but we're going to have to know how to do it. May the Lord help us this morning. All right, and so I want to talk about briefly, and then I'm going to move ahead. Just stay with me this morning. Sometimes we are, and I alluded to this earlier, we are in what's called denial. Number one, the trauma, maybe it happened or maybe it didn't. I don't know. I'm not sure about that. And so we deny that what has happened to us has even happened. Or we see it in a way that it wasn't traumatic to us. All right? And then we have what's called a trauma response. So maybe we allow it in our minds. We believe that the things that has happened to us has happened, but they didn't affect us. We're okay. Everything's good. We're tough, and we're over that. Matter of fact, we were told to get over it, and so we've gotten over that, and that's behind us, you see. And so we're walking around with these unacknowledged issues and problems that we have. And so we're not even aware that we have these problems. And so we can't even begin to address them, let alone seek help for these types of things. I'm here this morning. I want to talk to the one that's saved. I want to talk to the one that's not saved. If you're not saved, these are the types of things that can hinder you from receiving salvation. If you are saved, this can affect your relationship with God in such a way that it can hinder you along the way. Okay? And so what ends up happening is these things that we have convinced ourselves either that they didn't happen or that they didn't affect us, just because we say that they didn't happen and that they didn't affect us don't mean that it didn't. And so we're dealing from that perspective where we think that we're okay, but we're really not. And it's affecting not only our relationship with God, but it's affecting every relationship that we have. May the Lord help us this morning. And so the reason why I'm bringing this in here is because we have to acknowledge that we have been affected by the things that we have gone through in this life. I'm not talking about using them as excuses forevermore. I'm not talking about getting back at those that got at us. I'm not talking about. The Bible gives us clear instructions about these things, what it is that we need to do. But in order for us to grow and develop, the Bible says grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what I'm finding is part of my salvation, part of my deliverance is starting to look at the things that have affected me and how I have become who I am, and then what can be done about it. May the Lord help us this morning. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us. Our relationship with God is affected by not only the traumas that we have experienced, but the response that we had immediately to those traumas,
right,
and the long-lasting effect of those traumas even till now. Mm-hmm. May the Lord help us. Yeah. And so what we need to do is understand that this is what we're dealing with,
yeah,
and then what can be done about it by the grace and help of God.
Yeah.
I refer to the dog scenario. And maybe we can probably get over what the dog did to us in a better way. And I use that term, get over, because I want you to be looking at those things too when you get a chance. Are you really over what has happened to you? If you are, that's great.
Yes.
But if you are not, what can be done about it?
Yes.
Is God not a healer? Is he not a savior?
Yes, he is.
Is he not a redeemer, a renewer?
Yes.
Can he put back together what is broken?
Yes.
Does the Bible not say something about brokenhearted and what he can do with that?
Uh-huh.
It does, right? It says he can heal that, right?
Yes.
And so I want you to take a look at that. And as we move forward, be thinking about those types of things. Sometimes what happens is we get attacked, let's say, by a dog, and we understand that's the dog's nature, and that's easier to get over. But what if the perpetrator of the violence, whether it be verbal, mental, emotional, physical, whatever it might be, what if it was done by someone that was in a position that they should be loving and kind and good to us? Maybe a sibling, I refer to Joseph.
Yeah.
Maybe a parent.
Right.
Maybe a spouse. Maybe our children.
Right.
Help us, Lord.
May the Lord help us.
Yeah.
What do we do?
Yeah.
Do we acknowledge it?
Yeah.
Do we look at how it has affected us, and then what do we do from there? May the Lord help us. I want you to go, and I'm almost finished here. I know that's amazing. This subject is so vast and so difficult to preach so far that I'm going to have to break it down in pieces if the Lord let me, and then go maybe do a series on it. But I think it's something that we need. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 11 and verse number 12. I'm going to read that for us. And I'm going to talk about a few things, and then again, I'm almost finished. It says here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, it says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness." So before these scriptures, the scriptures right before verse number 11, it was telling us what not to do. And then in verse number 11, it is telling us what we should do. And so many times what the issue is, we're not having a problem understanding what is good and what is right. He has showed thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee.
Yeah.
To do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. So we don't have a problem with that. We understand what is good and what is right. A child, when they are a very little child, you know what they say when they see something wrong? What do they say? You so-and-so-and-so-and-so. How do they know that, right? Because they're born with that in them. They have a conscience. They have an understanding of what is good and right. And so you and I, we have an understanding what is good and right. And we, intrinsically, we want to be good. We want to be right. We don't want to be wrong. We are designed in that way God made us. You see? And so what ends up happening is, along the way, there are things that can hinder us from being what God would have us to be. So the issue is not that we don't know what is right, and it's not that we don't want to do what's right, but the issue is there are things that can hinder us from doing right. There are other messages along these lines as well. And so what ends up happening is, We have the desire to do right, and we set about trying to do it, but we keep coming up against something in a certain area or areas, and we keep falling down. And the desire is not the desire, and it's not that I don't want to be all that God would, and it's not that I don't know that God has been good to me. None of that is the problem. The problem is I'm having an issue with something that has happened to me in the past, whether it be acknowledged or unacknowledged, and I haven't got a chance to deal with that yet. And so when I get to the place where I allow God to deal with me in these places, on these matters, not just the trauma, but the response that I have had, then I can begin to move forward. God can't heal me if I won't acknowledge that I'm hurt. God can't heal me if I won't acknowledge that these things have happened to me. God can't heal me if I am holding on to something and God is saying, listen, let me take that from you. Yeah. We just talked about the friend that God is. Yeah. What a friend we have. And he is that way. But I've got trauma, and I've got this trauma response that when someone deals with me in a certain way, immediately I have a response. Before I even think about it. Remember the dog example. Before you even thought about it, you took off running. Some people saw that dog and began to attack the dog. See, these are trauma responses. There's flight. There's a flight. There's fight. There's some people freeze up. Some people there's all kinds of different responses, and it's not something that you say, there's a dog. Let me see what I'm going to do about that. It doesn't work that way. Immediately, you have a reaction, and whatever that reaction is, that's the beginning of your trauma response. And so, let me ask you something this morning. What happens when somebody comes to you? Do not answer out loud. Be thinking about this, please. What happens to you when someone comes to you and they tell you something that is not favorable about yourself? I know what happens to me.
Yeah.
I'll read some responses, and then I'll go on. One trauma response would be fight. That means you defend yourself, whether it be most of the time it's going to be in a carnal nature. Well, let me tell you something about you. Why are you telling me about me? Let me tell you something about you and what I've noticed.
Right.
You see.
Yeah.
Right? Another one would be freeze. And so we get scared. We don't run. We don't fight. We don't do anything. We're just stuck there. And we're paralyzed by fear.
Right.
All right? That's another trauma response. Some people, they get real, it's called fawn, where they begin to compliment the other person and you know, they're faced with some type of traumatic event, and so they try to appease that other person and try to do something so that it'll stop happening, whatever it is that's happening. And then another one is faint, where you just shut down and you can't do anything. And leave me alone. Get away from me. Don't talk to me. You know, something like that, right? So going back to the previous question, maybe in our lives, maybe I'm not the only one, people have said things about us to hurt us. What they said was unfavorable. The way they said it, the reason why they said it, all of that was to cause us harm.
Right.
And it caused a trauma response.
Right.
So not only the trauma, but the trauma response. Now, take that same ordeal and then apply it to the question that I just asked you. Even if a person is coming to me in love, to help me, to lift me up. Maybe it's even God himself coming to us and saying, son, daughter, I've noticed this about you. This is something that needs to change. I can help you with this, but this thing can't continue. Right. Sometimes what we have is, when we're dealing with that, is we have that trauma response, and whatever it is that we normally do, that's what we do.
Right.
We either run from him, we fight him, we resist him, we might shut down, we might freeze in fear. All of these things can be, and sometimes we do a combination of those things. The problem is, God is not coming to us to tell us about ourselves, to harm us, but we have been affected in the past, and so therefore we have the improper response to what God is trying to help us with. All right? Lord, help us. God wants to help us with all of these things. That scripture there that we read, it means something to us. Because we want to be pleasing and honoring unto God, but again, some things can get in the way. And so our mission is, what is in the way and what is keeping me from being what the Lord would have me to be, from being successful as a child of God? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 and verses 4. It says here, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We're going to read more of that. But we're going to go back to 1 Timothy 6 and 12. You beat me there. Go ahead and read it. I want you to read the 12th verse this time, and then we're going to talk about that for a brief moment.
Fight the good fight of faith.
Lay hold upon eternal life. Yes. Amen. And so, remember that fighting is a trauma response. So when the enemy comes and he comes to us, we are to fight against him. We just read about the weapons that we have, right? And so what ends up happening is the enemy will send a person to attack us. And in our carnal minds, if we're not careful, like we talked about before, we will come back at them and get them straightened out. But God is what he's teaching us here is there. We are still to fight, but there's a way that we're supposed to fight that is way more effective. All right. And so it says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And so what we are to do is we are to notice who the real enemy is in this situation. All right. And so when someone come and they do something against you, they are either coming in self or they are coming because the enemy has sent them, whether they know it or not. And so what you need to do is you need to fight the enemy and not the individual. All right. And so the way you do that is through prayer, through the word of God, through seeking what God has to say and feel about you, because I promise you, somebody's going to tell you something about yourself in the near future that you don't like. It's going to happen. But if we are to be like Christ, then we'll have to start looking at our responses. Are they, number one, of God, or are they not? If they are not, then why not? And then how can we rectify and fix that so that we might be what the Lord would have us to be? May the Lord help us this morning. So God teaches us how to fight. One of the ways that we fight is through the word of God. Somebody can come and tell me how stupid and dumb and unuseful I am and all these different things. They can do that right now. But I have weapons against that. It is important to know the word of God. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Don't just know the word, study the word. Because when the enemy comes, then you and I can go to the word of God and we can refute the lies of the enemy. Because what God says has more authority than what that other person might be saying. That person that would come to harm us, right? I'm going to talk about the other person that is coming not to harm us, but right now we're talking about someone that is coming to harm us, sit by the enemy, all right? All right, and so we have the word of God. Let's turn to, let's get verse number, 2 Corinthians 10, verse number 5. What does it say?
Casting down imagination,
every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. So I can literally go to the word of God, see what it says about me and how he feels about me. I can meditate on those things and I can overcome what the enemy is trying to do to me. I can cast down imagination, every high thing that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. I can do that, but I have to do that in the Spirit and by the Spirit of the Lord. Only God can help. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And so we have to, the flesh warreth against the soul. And so the flesh is going to rise up and it's going to want to defend itself because it is what got injured. I'll say that again. The flesh is what has gotten injured. All right. And when I say that, I'm talking about that spirit of a man. All right. And so what we can do is learn to, by the help of the Lord, deny myself, take up my cross and follow him. I can also use the word of God in those instances and take what they are saying. First of all, Lord, is it true what they're saying? Even though I know they meant to hurt me, is it true? If it's true, Lord, help me with this thing. But if it's not true, Lord, what do you think about me? Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, the Bible tells us what to think about. I know the thoughts that I think of thee, thoughts of good and not evil, to bring thee to an expected end. Right? Knowing the word of God helps us with that. What's another scripture? Love is of God, for God is love. What is that scripture? Beloved, let us love one another.
Yes.
For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is what? Is born of God, for God is love. So he loves us. And so I can take those thoughts and those attacks, and I can apply the word to what they say, and I can defend myself in a righteous way. All right? Because what the enemy is doing, he's trying to introduce not only negative thoughts, but he's also trying to introduce a negative mindset, which is a trauma response. And so I'm walking around in my mind thinking less of myself, and that's not how God sees me, and that's not how he feels about me. How could he feel that way about me and he the one that made me? Doesn't make sense, does it? And so people do those types of things because the Bible says one place that Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I believe that. I believe people do things and they really don't know what they're doing. They don't know how it's affecting you and affecting others. And so I can use that scripture and I can, the Bible says, pray for them. So that's the second one. Prayer. Pray for yourself first. All right? So use the word and then pray for yourself first. Lord, help me. What was said, what was done, it hurts me. And I know that if I'm not careful here, I'm going to have some type of response that's going to be long lasting and it's going to cause me harm. And so I'm asking you, Lord, I want you to have mercy upon me. The healing that you have for me, would you apply it to me in this instance? The grace that I need to have, will you give it to me, Lord? I need your grace. And listen, you may have to put this thing on repeat.
That's true.
You may go through times May the Lord help us. Sometimes it seems like we as Christians, we go through times and periods of times. We call them seasons, where you're going through testing. Right. You're going through trial. You're going through a difficult thing, and you need the Lord to help you in these types of places.
Yes,
all right. So use the word, use prayer.
Yes.
All right. The Bible says pray without ceasing. Lord was talking to me about this, and he said that prayer is the key.
All right. Yeah.
What does a key do?
Opens
what? Open the door. What's behind the door?
Something,
right? When we're talking about prayer, we're talking about every solution, every answer, every need that we ever could possibly have. The Bible says he'll do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think.
Yeah.
That's behind the door where the key can get in.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
Yes.
And so the song says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pains we bear. I'm not all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Take that golden key and open the door to the blessing and the help that you need.
Yes.
It's not that you don't have the key, and it's not that it doesn't work. It's that sometimes we forget to use it.
Yes.
When we are in these situations.
Yes.
May the Lord help us. When you have been attacked, when you have been mistreated, when you have been downcast and downtrodden, prayer is a weapon that you can use.
Yeah.
To help you, to uplift your spirits, to encourage your heart. The Word of God, prayer, is another thing that can do it.
Yeah.
Remember that the Holy Spirit is a comforter. Somebody go to John 14 and 16 on down through verse number 18. And when you get there, let me know, because we're going to have to read that, because we need to know that God is a comforter. And that you and I need to begin to use that office of the Holy Spirit more often. God is a comforter. A comforter is one that provides comfort. If we didn't need comfort from time to time, then we wouldn't have the office of the Holy Spirit. So we need comfort. What we get used to is trying to deal with it on our own. This has happened to me. It hurt me, but I'm going to get over it. I'm going to be tough, and I'm going to be okay. You just wait, because time heals all wounds, doesn't it? Where is that in the Bible? Time do not heal all wounds. If you're in the medical field, if you have run on the patients that I have run on, let me tell you, time is the opposite of that. You better get them to some help. You understand? And so we have all of these mindsets and things that we have learned that we need to do away with. Lord, this thing has hurt me. And Lord, I'm bringing it to you. I'm using your word. I'm using prayer. I'm using the comfort that you have for me. You said that you are a comforter. And so, Lord, I need your comfort. Acknowledge it before the Lord. And give it to him and see if he don't help you. Read for us, please.
And I will pray the Father.
He'll give you another comforter.
That he may abide with you
forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Because it doesn't see him. It doesn't know him. You know him. He dwells in you. And he'll be in you. He said, I won't leave you comfortless.
I will come to you.
Who is that talking right there?
Jesus
Christ.
Yes.
And so what was happening there is he was about to leave them.
Yes.
He was about to go back to the Father.
Yes.
He had come to do what he did. He did what he did. And now it was time for them to leave. And so when he was there, he was a comfort to them because he was there. But then when he left, he wasn't going to leave them. They were going to need. When somebody leave and they're not coming back, you need comfort, don't you?
Amen.
And so God understood that.
Right.
Not only did he understand that in that instance, but he understands that the trauma that you have experienced in your life going back to maybe 2, 3, 1 years old on up, and that you experienced and that you registered and that response that you have, he understands that that is part of who you are, and he's willing to go way back there and heal and work and bless and help you with all of that. You don't have to live under those conditions.
Amen.
When you do have that healing that you need, when you do get the help that you need, you will be able to better serve the Lord. Okay? That's the way it is. If somebody have a broke leg and they're going to help you, it might not work out too well if you got an injury too. Even if they want to, even if they're trying to. Okay? And so God says that he's a comforter, and he's not going to leave you comfortless. He says he'll come to you.
Amen.
The Lord said in the word of God in Psalms 46:1, he said he's our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Yes.
And so that was in the Old Testament. And then now in the New Testament, we have his Holy Spirit with us at all times.
Yes.
May the Lord bless us. May he help us out. Use God's comfort. This is how we fight the good fight of faith. This is how we lay hold upon eternal life.
Yes.
All right, the last thing I wanted to refer to, and I already referred to it, it's found in Luke 4:18, and it's a familiar scripture. We're not going to turn to it. But in there, it talks about healing the brokenhearted. Most of the time, the wounds that we have, it's not the wounds that's on the outside that are going to hurt us. They affect us, and they affect us in a great way. But those injuries and those hurts that are on the very spirit of the man, of the woman, those injuries that exist in our minds and the response that we have had to them. So remember this. I'm not just talking about the injury, but I'm talking about the response that we had to the injury. Because you can get hurt, and if you do the right things, then you can get the healing that you need. If I break my leg, we're going to go put a cast on it, and we're going to wait 9 months, and we're going to do some rehab, and it's going to be better, right? Lord willing. Lord's going to bless that, okay? But some of these things that have taken place and have occurred with us, we've been walking around with them things ever since. Not just the what happened, because we refer to what happened and we rehash it in our mind, but we don't think about how it has affected us, and furthermore, how it has affected our relationships, most importantly, our relationship with God. God wants to heal your broken heart. God wants to help you with those injuries that you haven't even really acknowledged, and he wants to help you with the responses that you have had. When you're able to bring these things to the Lord, now you one of the things is, and I've been a fireman for years, and it's always this way. If somebody is hurt, especially if they're badly hurt, and they don't know you, they don't trust you. Don't be coming in here and you just gonna start working on what they got going on. They cut, they stab, they shot, they whatever it is. You gonna come in here, you just start grabbing them, even though they're hurt already. There has to be some rapport that's built up. My name is Clifford Grimes. I work for Dallas Fire Rescue. I see that you're injured. Where are you injured at? How did that happen? Care and concern.
Right.
I'm here to help you. I have this many years of experience. This is what's going on with you. This is what we're going to do to you to help you. And then we're going to get you to the hospital so you can get the surgery or whatever it is that you need. Right?
Amen.
I build a rapport with you. And so God has been all through our lives trying to build a rapport with us.
Yes.
The enemy has been trying to cause trauma and repeated trauma responses to hinder us from having that rapport and relationship with God that we need to have, to the point where we're willing to trust him with what it is that what our problem is. I've even had it where, and this is true, I've had to wait on patience. Brother Cam will tell you about this. Somebody's shot and they bleeding out. They don't want you to touch them. If you touch them, it's going to exasperate the injury. It's going to exacerbate the injury. It's going to make them bleed out more because they're fighting you and they're already bleeding out. And so sometimes you have to wait. You're just talking to them calmly and you're getting ready with your equipment because you know they're about to pass out. And then when they pass out, then you can do your work. We don't have to wait until we pass out.
Amen.
We don't. We don't. We can get help right now. The Bible says he's a very present help in time of trouble. That's past trouble, present trouble, future trouble, any kind of trouble. It doesn't matter what it is. God is here, and he's here for you, and he's here for me. We have to be willing to take advantage of it. May the Lord bless his word today. I kept you a little bit longer than what I wanted to, but the Lord knows all about that. I hope that these words will he's going to have to bless them to your heart, because I didn't do such a great job with it, but the Lord knows all about that. I trust that the Lord can take these words and bless them to your heart, and if you have a need before the Lord, I pray that you can get to him in a way not only the trauma gets dealt with, but the trauma response that you have, that can get dealt with. Now, it will only help. It will only bless. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord bless me. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go by myself.
Amen.
So you pray for me. I'll be praying for you. Thank you for your prayers. Amen.